Blog Talk Radio. It's Queen of Sky on the inaugural launch of Brenneman Airplane. I could not think of a better guest to join me than Queen of Sky for the inaugural launch of a show called Brenneman Airplane. Queen of Sky is Ellen Simonetti. You can find her blog at www.myspace.com/Queen of Sky. She is the former Delta flight attendant fired because of her blog a couple years back. She became a sort of cyber celebrity. She even has her own theme song, which you just heard, by Daniel, I'm thinking Prenderville, but I may not be pronouncing that right. Is that correct?
I think so. I think it's Daniel Prenderville. He's Irish. I'm glad you found the song. That just made me smile.
I found the song, yep. And I corresponded with Daniel via email, and he was very receptive to letting us use it on XXBN. If you would like to join us tonight, you can do that, 646-200-3136. You can also join us at xxbn.net. Press the click to talk button, and maybe it'll work. If not, don't be surprised and call 646-200-3136. Unless you are a hater. If you are a person that is a hater, then the Brenneman Airplane is equipped with 6 exits, 2 forward, 2 over the wing, and 2 in the rear. Pick any one and get out. Ellen, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
For those who don't know you, can you give a little bit of a bio about yourself?
Oh, by the way, they can also reach my blog through queenofsky.net. www.queenofsky.net. That's the main blog. But anyway, yeah, I was a flight attendant for Delta Airlines for 8 years, and I started a blog 7 years into it, and then 9 months after I started my blog, I was fired because of the blog. Specifically, they had a problem with some pictures I posted in my uniform. And that was 4 years ago, and I wrote a book based on my blog, Diary of a Dysfunctional Flight Attendant, the Queen of Sky blog, which will hopefully soon be made into a movie. So that's some exciting news.
Tell me about the movie. I saw rumblings of it on your website.
Oh, well, actually, I don't think I've mentioned it yet because someone just sent me this agreement the other day. They want to buy the rights to my book to make it into a movie. And so we'll see. I haven't really read through the paperwork closely yet, but they want me to write the screenplay too, which I'm really excited about. Although I've never written.
Oh.
What?
You have some creative input.
I've never written a screenplay before, so I'm a little nervous about it, but it seems like it would be a lot of fun. But it's kind of like a small indie production company. So I'm hoping we could get like Katherine Heigl to play me, but it might be difficult since it's a small indie outfit.
You beat me to the question, Ellen. That was who I was gonna ask you, who you wanted to play you and who you wanted to play the evil Delta supervisors.
Oh, God. I hadn't thought of that one. That's pretty funny. I would like Brad Pitt to co-star as a sexy pilot or something that I drool over, or Queen of Sky drools over, and then she later finds out that he's gay, unfortunately. But that wasn't in my book. That was just a nice little addition. Oh,
Yeah, I
God.
wonder if Brad would take the role.
What's that?
I wonder if Brad would take the role.
Yeah, I doubt it from a little indie film outfit. But one has to have hope.
Well, you have to.
I don't think that's the type of movie he does anyway. I think he likes action and all that stuff, serious stuff.
Well, you're writing the screenplay. I mean, you could put in a shootout or something. I mean, to get Brad Pitt, there must be, an action component someplace where he gets revenge on evil supervisors
Yeah, so I just started thinking about this, and because I really honestly hadn't thought about ever, I had not thought about writing a screenplay, because I just thought it would be a waste of time, because normally they want to write the screenplay, or they want to have their writer do it, so I am kind of, it's kind of intriguing. Intriguing. But yeah, but so that's the basic story anyway. So my story is still in progress. My book, I mean my lawsuit against Delta is still pending, and I need to call my lawyer because I haven't heard from him in a while, which is usually not a good sign. I'm hoping that it's just because he hasn't heard anything, but and. It's just so everything is kind of pending, but kind of there at least there's a little bit of movement in one aspect of my life.
Well, that would be a nice way to fill the time while you're waiting settlement, to be able
Yeah.
to write your own screenplay.
Yeah, and I'm actually gonna be taking some radio TV film classes at the University of Texas this fall, starting later this month as well. So I'll be keeping busy, that's for sure.
Your own movie. Yeah, I haven't been to a movie in a long time. I would go see Queen of Sky.
Oh, good. Well, I'm thinking I'm gonna get my readers' input on what they think the title of the movie should be, because I haven't. Because I thought Queen of Sky is just too boring of a title, so I'm gonna have to spice it up a little bit. Like Queen of Skies, what was the one I was thinking about? Queen of Skies, Flighty Adventures, or something like that. Queen of Skies, Mile High Adventures, or not, or not something like that.
You know,
Queen of
I remember growing up, there was a show about flight attendants, like
Oh, really?
this awful like early 70s show.
Uh-huh.
Like, well, once you have a movie, maybe it'll be developed into, a TV series and.
Well, see, that last year, about a year and a half ago, I had some people contact me from that were affiliated with Fox about buying the TV rights to the book. And I got all excited about that, and then they never followed through. So this time I was like, well, we'll see if they actually send me the paperwork. And they did, so I've got to look it over and get my lawyer to look it over, and then we'll figure it out. So this is all like a very recent development. I haven't even like really announced it on my blog yet. I did announce it on Twitter. I think maybe that's where you saw it.
Maybe that's where I saw it on Twitter.
Twitter. Because I just signed up for Twitter, and that was my update yesterday. But
You
I
know,
haven't spoken about it on my blog yet.
I signed up for Twitter 2 days ago, so
Oh, so
I
we
would
signed up
have
the
to guess. I never even knew what Twitter was, and then another XBN co-host was like, "Why aren't you promoting the show on Twitter?" And I was like, "Twitter's like a stereo store here, like
Oh.
Carolinas." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And so that was how I just found out about Twitter myself. So,
Yeah, I've been hearing about it for a while, but I thought it was a chat program, and I hate chatting, so I avoided it. But it turns out it's kind of neat. It's like a cross between a blog and a chat. But you don't have to respond to people, because when I'm chatting, I just get annoyed. Because I'm usually when I'm online, I'm doing stuff, and then I get these little people always trying to chat with me, and I'm like, my God, go away.
Now, I just got something new on chat a couple of days ago. You know how you get the Nigerian scams in email?
Oh, God.
I actually got a Nigerian scam by chat and Skype. And that's the first that ever happened.
Nice.
Which I was thinking to myself, the first lady of some deceased dictator in Nigeria has picked me out of everybody in the United States to give $50 million to, and all I have to do is give my bank account number.
Wow. Go for it.
Wow. Gee, that seems legitimate. And she picked me on Skype where she doesn't even know my name. And what is a scene that you would pick for the movie? I'm intrigued.
Well, I do like the initial idea was that we would have it kind of like, I guess you haven't seen Sex and the City, the movie, or like Bridget Jones' Diary. I need to rent that movie again, like where there is some narration, and like the narration would be blog style, like the blog, and then you see the action going on, and some of it might be kind of hyper, in hyperdrive, the action, like fast speed, because sometimes my blogs jumped around a lot, most of them jumped around a lot, if I'm moderating the blog, then there might be kind of choppy events being pieced together, I don't know, it's just like kind of all, it's a very embryonic thing right now.
Now, a question has come in via XXBN radio email, and ironically, Brad is asking, Brad states that he has seen your blog and seen the pictures and wants to know what all the fuss is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, tell him I have no idea. And I'm very surprised he's reading my blog when with the twins, Seems like he should be changing diapers right now.
I wonder if it's the same Brad.
Hmm.
That would be a first for Blog Talk Radio and XXBN, if we hooked Brad Pitt up with you right here on the show, and got the male action star nailed down on Live Talk Radio. I bet you it's a different Brad. Now, for listeners joining, once again, my guest is Ellen Simonetti. She is Queen of Sky. Her main website is queenofsky.net. She's a former Delta flight attendant. She was, inserting my own opinion into this, very unfairly fired over her blog. She was fired essentially over pictures, which Delta, to my understanding, felt were inappropriate, which is garbage. I agree with email correspondent to our show, Brad, who asked what is the fuss about, because there is nothing particularly there's nothing inappropriate about the pictures. There's nothing
Brad Pitt. It wasn't Brad Pitt that was writing in.
I don't know.
You just ruined my day.
Well, I don't know. It's not. I don't want to ruin your day. He only put Brad. So there's still hope. Brad, you need to call in.
There was a good article. Business Week Online just did a good article that pretty much summarized the whole case. And I posted that on my blog a couple weeks ago, maybe, or a week or two ago, but it's still on my, it's a couple of entries down from the top. But it was a very thorough article. So if anyone's curious, it kind of, you know, and I liked their conclusions as well. Like, I thought it was very favorable for me.
Well, essentially, you got fired for no reason. I mean, to my understanding, Delta had no policy about this.
Right.
And
they still don't. As far as I know, they still don't. I hear that AFA, like the Association of Flight Attendants, the union, has a policy on blogging, but Delta flight attendants, as you know, are not unionized still. They voted down the union, which I don't understand, but for the second time they voted it down. So they're still, I mean, I haven't heard of any, I think I would be the first to hear about it if there were a policy implemented. One of my friends would tell me, would forward me the memo or whatever.
Well, and Delta just unveiled those new uniforms, and, you know, I mean, I am too old for the red dress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for them to have fired you based upon pictures and uniform, in a uniform that is far less revealing than what their safety demo videos are.
Yeah, it's just, it's hypocrisy, what can I say? I mean, I'm trying to let go of my anger, so but it's just hypocrisy. They I was talking about this with some of my friends that are still flying with Delta, and they said, "Oh, well, yeah, you know, Delta's now hip and cool, so you got fired before they turned hip and cool." I was like, "Oh, that's too bad." You know, they have a corporate blog. It's like blog.delta.com or something like that. And then they have the sexy uniform. They have the sexy safety video. And they try to be, like, I guess, hip with their marketing. But I don't know. Somewhere I got dumped off the turnip truck or whatever, whatever you say.
Well, I'm trying to picture how this is going to work with the merger with Northwest. You know, I mean, for listeners who are unfamiliar with Northwest, Northwest is pretty conservative. And I can't picture Northwest being cool.
Huh. Northwest is more conservative than Delta? Or Delta, you're saying like the new Delta?
More conservative than the new Delta. I always found Northwest to be very, very by the book. Yeah, I've got like a ton of World Perks miles from my deadheading days.
Oh.
And I just can't picture some of the flight crews being hip from Northwest.
Huh. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I've ever flown on Northwest. If I have, it's been like years ago, back when I was deadheading, which is or commercialing, as we called it, when I used to work for a charter, which was before Delta.
Have you seen the movie Fargo?
Yeah.
Put Fargo in the air, and that's Northwest.
Oh, really?
Which will probably light up the board with people from Minnesota angry with me, but I lived in Minnesota, so.
I don't remember what was Fargo about? I just remember that it was in Minnesota. I just don't remember what it was.
Fargo was the pregnant lady police officer. And the husband, if I remember right, the husband had his wife kidnapped to get ransom somehow, and she ended up dying. And the head investigator was this really cool lady police officer from Minnesota, but she was just very Minnesota. And Minnesota, you know, I've lived in 9 states, and Minnesota is just its own entity. It's got its own accent, and it's very parochial, and there's a reason why, you know, Northwest is like 83% of all departures out of Minneapolis, because it's just very parochial, and everybody wants to fly Northwest, even if they paid, you know, 6 times more than they would if another carrier had any presence there.
Hmm.
But I, as much as I hate to admit it, I've Delta's been the only airline that I've been able to get a decent flight to Chile, and so I've flown Delta a couple of times in the last year, and I still don't see the hip thing.
Oh, really? I don't know. I haven't been on them in a while. Actually, I have to admit, I did fly on them at New Year's, believe it or not. I flew back from Nice on Delta via New York. And normally when I fly, and I paid for my ticket, by the way. It was not a buddy pass. But normally when I fly, I tell at least one crew member my story, and at least one person on the crew has usually heard the story. And on that one, of course, I'm sure they had all heard the story, but it was like, you know how Delta is, it's like you've got the really senior flight attendants, and then you've got the really junior flight attendants on an international flight because they're on reserve or they're language speakers, the junior ones. And it was the Nice trip out of New York, and so it's like the most senior trip of New York, apparently. So there were some, how can I say this nicely, crusty senior mamas, which is our industry term, senior mama. That's not an insult. And I offered them each a free book, and that was the first time I've ever had anybody turn down a free book, one of my free books. On a flight, the older ladies turned it down. The younger ones took it. The older ones turned it down. It's a very, like, so that just made me realize, you know, I remembered back when I was a flight attendant how divided their employee groups are. It's even just among one group of employees, the flight attendant, they're so, it's like, it's really weird. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, I know I was always surprised at the opposition to unionizing.
Yeah. And it's mostly the older ones that were, the senior ones that were against unionizing. Although, I have to say that in New York, a lot of the senior ones are former Pan Am, and they're very pro-union. But, it was just it was an experience, that flight back from New York. I mean, it was like I felt like these ladies, the older ladies, were looking at me like very hostile. Like, you know, like they believed that I deserved to be fired. That's what I felt. And the junior ones were like, oh, hey, can we bring you a drink or whatever, you know? And, yeah. By the way, I never pay for drinks anymore on flights, even though I fly coach these days. I always get, you know, the flight attendants always offer me free drinks. In fact, one American Airlines flight attendant gave me, like, a bunch of, you know, vodka minis. But I think I probably gave her a book, a free book.
Geez, I've got to buy some of your books and take them with me on flights.
Yeah, but I
drinks.
The cost of the book might not pay off. I mean, although I guess drinks prices are going up on flights. But yeah, I should have listened to my readers in the beginning and done a paperback version. But I was like, I was vain, and I was like, well, I really would like to have a nice hardcover. But so now I know that when I take a poll of my readers, that of my blog readers, I need to listen to them, because it was like, I don't remember, it was like it was like at least 60%, probably 70%. So I think 70% or more preferred paperback. And what did I do? I printed hardcover, which was not the brightest idea.
Now, knowing nothing about publishing a book, is it possible to have it go to paperback? Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Is that a possible thing?
Well, see, I self-publish, so if I want to print another round, I have to pay for it out of my pocket. And, yeah, until I get my settlement from Delta, I won't be able to do that, you know, or until I get paid for this screenplay, which would actually not be until it's completed, or actually probably after that, until they actually get the funding and all that. So, yep.
Now, on the movie, is the anticipation that it would go to theater, that it would go to DVD, that it would go to?
Well, of course, we would hope that it would, you know, would be a feature film in theaters. So it's just a matter of I haven't, and like I said, I haven't even signed the paperwork yet. But I would discuss with them ways to market it before we even start production. And one of the ways I was thinking about was to have my blog readers involved in, you know, the actual writing of the screenplay, where they could like say, or I could at least take a poll and post bits of the screenplay and say, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? You know, what do you think of this format? Or this, you know, what do you think of this scene? And, you know, what do you think of the title? And yada, yada, you know, or which title do you prefer? But yeah, I think like by getting people involved, they'll be more interested to see it do well, but to see it, you know, actually make it into theaters. So that's what I was kind of thinking about as my marketing strategy.
Now, if you could pick one exotic destination to use as an on-location film, of all the places you've been, where would be your exotic destination?
You mean a layover destination? Or like a vacation destination?
Either one, however it would work.
Or either or.
Into the movie.
Well, one of my favorite layover destinations, I have to say, was Lima, Peru. And... you know, I don't know, depending on the budget of the film, I don't know how many places we could trip around to, you know. But I would love to go back to Lima, you know, and do like a whole, you know, what it was like to be on a layover there, go to the market, go to some nice restaurants, you know, have fun, go to the bar or the hotel with your crew members, or, you know, go out dancing, whatever. But yeah, so I don't know. It would kind of depend the budget of the movie, I guess, how many locations we could shoot in. That might be difficult because my book is all over the place. You know, it's like I'm in Rome one day, I'm in like Madrid, then a couple days later, and then you know Lima. You know, every week I'm in a different country, so. I don't really know. That's something I would have to talk to them about, how many actual destinations we could fake and how many we'd have to, you know, it's kind of hard to fake places like Rome and, you know, well, Latin America, I guess you could use one Latin American city and have that represent all of them or different Latin American cities like Peru and Mexico could kind of, the people look kind of similar, but you know, Argentina, the people in Argentina don't look anywhere anything like Mexicans. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it would be a harder, and granted, you know, I've seen it done, and it kind of stands out, you know, and which I guess would be easy for it to stand out for me, because like you, you know, I've been to various Latin American countries, and you can pick out, you know, when they're saying it's Argentina, and it's obvious that it's filmed in San Diego, or in Mexico City, and you're just like,
yeah.
Oh, this doesn't work, you know.
Yeah. But then again, I mean, they've shot scenes here in Austin that have been supposed to be New York. So, like in, what was that movie, Miss Congeniality? That was shot mostly in Austin, and it was like some of the scenes were supposed to be New York and stuff. And so, like, they can make Austin look like New York. But
that's an impressive feat. I've seen Vancouver, BC.
Uh-huh.
Tricked out as New York, but wow, Austin.
Yeah, so I'm going to be definitely brainstorming on that. It's going to be fun to work on that. So I'm looking forward to that. And I've never written a screenplay before, so I'm kind of like a little anxious about it. And that's why I would probably want to get people's input, and I just won't spoil the ending, you know. But definitely for the beginning of the movie, I would want to get people's input, like how to start it off and what format, if they like the blog narration for some parts of it, not obviously not for the whole movie, but for parts of it, like to have the blog narration overlay, voiceover, whatever you want to call it. I guess narration, would you call it? Like in Sex and the City, or, well, maybe they didn't use it that much in Sex and the City, the movie. I guess I need to rent Bridget Jones' Diary again and see if she was actually, like, reading from her diary. I don't remember. Do you remember? Like, was she reading from her diary, or was it just... I think she was, like, reading from her diary and the narration.
You know, I so have to get current with movies again. The last movie I saw, believe it or not, was United 93.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. I thought I didn't go to many movies. Wow.
I have seen three movies since, I'm going to say 2003.
You didn't even watch movies on flights? Like when you were deadheading?
You know, I'm terrible about going to sleep. It became this thing about perpetually pretending to be asleep so no one would talk to me.
But, like, what if you were on a flight? I guess you didn't go to, like, Europe. Well, you go to South America, though, so that's a long flight. You can only sleep so long.
Those I've done as a passenger to South America. The rest of my trips were mostly... I did the occasional charter to Argentina for ski trips.
Oh.
But I worked those. I did time in Mexico, but those are pretty short hops from Midway.
Right.
So I never really got a whole lot of movie time, and I'm almost pathologically impatient with anybody talking to me on a flight. So I've got this whole iPod thing and the whole pretend sleep thing and the pretend I don't speak whatever language they speak. And that in itself has hung me more than once because, you know, I can only speak English and Spanish, and I'll default to Spanish and get a native Spanish speaker, and then I'm just, you know, screwed.
Yeah.
Then I'm locked into Spanish and can't really understand what he's saying. But I'm trying to think what movie was playing. The last flight to Chile. You know, to be honest, I fell asleep and I saw on the Delta monitors that we were just outside of Key West, and woke up on final approach outside of Bina. And so I've got this terrible sleep thing on planes.
Well, the Chile flights I can understand because that's true all-nighter because you leave late at night and you arrive early in the morning and it's the same time zone. But, like, to Europe, you leave in the afternoon, like, early evening or late afternoon, and then you arrive, like, it's kind of in the middle of the night. But I'm a night owl, so I don't usually sleep on those flights going over. Especially, you know, even on my crew rest break, I had trouble sleeping because I'm a night owl. But on the way back, I'd always sleep because I'd be exhausted.
You know, I always dreamt about that scenario because I was always the opposite. You know, I was the one who went back to the hotel room and went to sleep, and I missed out on a lot. You know, I missed out on more than one night that I heard the tales of and wished that... Well, I was happy because I was the only one that wasn't overtired or not feeling well from the night before, but on the other hand, sometimes there's a letdown hearing what could have been and what wasn't. You know, granted, a lot of ATA who I flew with destinations were not very exotic locales.
Where did you fly mostly?
When I got the good flights, I would get into Mexico. Those are my best flights.
Were they layovers or were just turnarounds?
Often they were turnarounds. Occasionally they were layovers. Usually they were short layovers. We didn't get.
Do we need to explain airline terminology for your listeners?
I suppose we should. You know, you get me talking about airline terminology, and you're right.
Could we use deadheading and commercialing already? So that deadheading is when, or I guess it's kind of the same almost. It's just traveling to get to your, sorry, my brain is a little fried tonight. I don't know why. You're traveling as a passenger, basically, but you're getting paid to do it. And you're just in a seat, and you're just going to your first, the first part of your trip. start somewhere else in another city, so you're just taking a flight to get to your first point of your trip. Maybe you can explain it better, Jill.
Essentially, you explained it well. I mean, it's well, I guess what I'd say to anyone listening is it's kind of like commuting to work or commuting back from work, sort of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be on either end of the trip, right? And so it could even be on both ends, like if you work for a charter. Like if you say you have a trip that you're based in Minneapolis and your trip starts in, you're doing a charter flight from Virginia Beach to somewhere. So you would just take a regular commercial airline flight, or you would fly ferry, which is another airline term, on an empty airplane. On your empty airplane, whatever airline you work for, you would ferry that plane from your base city, Minneapolis, to Virginia Beach, and from there you would start your trip.
See, what other term did we use?
We just said...
turnaround.
What was the last one we just said? Not dead... So we did deadheading, ferrying, commercialing. Commercialing was what we called going on commercial airlines, because that was when I worked for the charter. But at Delta, it was just deadheading, because we always flew in Delta flights. But you sat in a passenger seat, and you were getting paid the same as the people that were working the flight. So, of course, those were always coveted trips that had deadhead legs, but they were few and far between, by the way, at Delta. But at charters, it's like part of their regular operations is putting you on other airlines as a passenger to get you from point A to point B, which is the starting point of your trip. Because when I worked for a charter for 3 months, and I mean, I had so many miles after just 3 months on Continental and TWA. Like, they sent me on TWA to Paris right after that big crash, you know, off of JFK, out of JFK. Remember that when it ran into the water?
Yeah, it was Flight 800 in 1996.
Yeah, yeah, and I might have been going out of St. Louis to Paris, but it seems like I was also going out of JFK. I don't remember. But, yeah. And what was the last term we just used? What were we just talking about?
We were talking turnarounds?
Turnarounds, right, yeah. Which is just a day trip where you just fly, say, from Atlanta to Mexico City and back to Atlanta, so there's no layover. Or you could do, like, a three-leg or even a five-leg turnaround, God forbid. Like some, there were some turnarounds, I guess, that people could do that were like Atlanta to Jacksonville, Jacksonville, Atlanta, Atlanta to Memphis, Memphis to Cincinnati, Cincinnati to Atlanta. So you end up in Atlanta, you leave from Atlanta the first leg, and you arrive back in Atlanta at the end of the day. And I really hated turnarounds, but that's because I didn't live in Atlanta. So they're mainly for people that live in the base city. It's commuters, people that live out of base, which are called commuters. They don't like turnarounds in general.
And that was my feeling about turnarounds, too. You know, the whole Minneapolis to Midway to Charlotte to Midway to Dallas to Midway just... with the invariable question of, well, you know, what river is that, or have you seen my car in the parking deck? That's still my all-time question. You know,
really?
Did you happen to notice my car in the parking deck?
Wow.
Of course I did. It's in, you know, blue 32. You know, we're coming into LaGuardia, and someone asked that. You know, what kind of car is a white Camry? I did. I saw about 400 of them.
Hmm. Wow.
But I was evil and just told her where I thought it might be and sent her on her way. But
yeah. Yeah, so, and the bad thing for commuters about turnarounds was that they signed in early, usually in the morning, and so usually we couldn't get there in time. so we'd have to spend the night in our base city, so pay for a hotel room or go to a crash pad, which is a shared apartment or shared hotel room with a bunch of other flight attendants. And then you'd have to, oftentimes they got in late, too, at the end of the day, so then you'd have to do the same thing, stay at a hotel or crash pad that following night, so it wasn't worth it. We had our longest trips were 3 days at Delta when I was there, so that was what I liked to do with 3 day trips, and I only had to leave once a week from Austin to Atlanta. Austin's where I live. I commuted to Atlanta, did my 3 day trip, and at the end of it, so that was two nights laying over in either two different domestic cities or one international city. Actually in Europe it was only one night because you're flying the first night. But and then on the way back, I would make sure to get a trip that came back early enough that I could get home. Or I would back up 2 3-day trips and spend a night in a hotel in between in Atlanta. So then I was working 6 days straight, but then I would usually have like 2 weeks off. Or at least a week off. Back when I worked, like had a stable job.
Which that is one of the perks that I liked about.
What was one of the perks?
It was getting, you know, you'd work X amount of days, you'd work like 6 days, then you'd have, you know, 10 days off.
Yeah. So how did it work at ATA? Did you get to choose your schedule, or did they assign you schedules?
We used to bid lines on ATA. Unfortunately, just as I developed enough seniority to start getting better lines.
That's when they went under.
They went under, you know, and I got the layoff by email. Which was very thoughtful. There was certainly no point in sending me a letter and cutting down a tree. I didn't get a final paycheck, but I did get an ATA crew luggage tag.
Ooh. Whoop-de-doo. Well, you'll eventually get money from the bankruptcy procedure. That happened to me when my previous airline went out of business. It was called Rich International. We got some money within a year or two, I think, but then it was like weird, you know, like 5 or 8 years later, I remember getting another check from the bankruptcy court or the whatever the... It takes a while to get... it still wasn't like nearly as much as they owed, but...
Well, you know, personally,
what's that?
Personally, I think, you know, the crew luggage tag did it for me. I mean, who needs pay when you get a...
Yeah, there you go.
You know, I wonder how that happened. I've kind of tried to think the process through of that. Like, at what point was it decided?
Well, maybe they just figured you could sell it on eBay and make a fortune, and that would cover your, you know, the pay that they owed you.
You know, I thought about that. I wasn't sure if that would break some law someplace, but since ATA is out of business,
not
I guess
a luggage.
It doesn't matter.
Not a luggage tag. You know, and I still have my old Delta uniforms, believe it or not. I've been sitting here, that I have a whole closet full of them, and I've been sitting here, it's just, lately I've just been like, I really need to get rid of these damn things. And I want to sell them on eBay, but I'm thinking I should probably wait until I settle with Delta first, because I don't want to piss them off even more, although I've already pissed them off, I think, quite a bit. But, I don't know, I don't know. What do you think about that? I mean, these are the old uniforms, so they're not the current uniform.
These are the gray ones. The blue and gray, right?
Uh-huh.
Like on your blog. I can't see how they'd be pissed off about it. I mean, well, I can. I mean, they're their corporation, so they'll come up with anything, you know. They'll ask you if you were born on a day ending and why is the reason to try not to settle with you. But outside of that, it's not as if they're current. They're not the current uniform, so there's no way anybody could use it for seditious means or for anything like that.
Well, they could say, maybe they might say, well, look, she has actually gained economically from her termination by selling her uniforms at a high price or something. Like, I don't even know if people would buy them. I know that there are plenty of guys out there that would like some of my pantyhose or shoes. I just got a message the other day on MySpace, I think it was, I get these periodically from somebody requesting a pair of my worn pantyhose or worn white shoes.
Well, maybe you could appeal to a fetish market.
What?
You could appeal to a fetish market.
I'm unfortunately I don't want to, and so I definitely the pantyhose and the shoes will not be for sale. They can buy the uniform, and I don't want to know what they do with it, but, I don't want to hear about it afterwards, but not the pantyhose or the shoes. That's pretty gross.
Well, you know, I just out of curiosity, I typed in flight attendant uniform into eBay, and you've got a Lufthansa FA uniform that's $31,
mm-hmm.
A Qantas tie, which I'm thinking this must be a male tie, for $22.16. I'm not really sure how one would arrive at $22.16, but there it is.
It's probably because of the conversion, if it's from Australian dollars.
Good point. That's what it is. The rest of it is kind of... Oh, wait. You know what? Let me try stewardess. There's so many people who still use that term.
Or an air hostess in England.
Oh, there we go. Now some options have come up. If you type in stewardess, Air France is worth $59.99. Monarch Airlines is worth $9.
I've never heard of Monarch.
I don't know.
Is that a charter? Or is that a British carrier?
That one surprised me, too. Now this one... You could get a stewardess uniform and a Delta brand of history book for $19.99.
Mm.
I didn't know there was a Delta brand of history book, but there it is.
Hmm.
Well, actually, there it isn't. That's Southwest. Looking at the picture, that's Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the go-go boots. Now, whatever happened to, I forget his name. I know he sent me the same email with pictures of himself, and I shot him back an email telling him to...
That freaky guy. The freaky
procreate
guy
with himself, yeah.
From MySpace, yeah. He was... I got a message from from a drag queen or something that says that she knew him, saying that he was actually pretty fucked up in the head from the war in Iraq. Remember, he was a soldier. And he sent me all these... Did he send you the naked pictures, too?
He sent me the naked pictures, yeah. That was...
Like, he enjoyed dressing up as a woman, but he still had all of his parts. And so he flashed us, and he sent us the pictures through MySpace and just wanting to be our slave, right?
Yes, that's right. He wanted to be our slave.
Our sissy maid. That was the word he used, sissy maid.
You know, I sent him a rather abrupt message back that didn't include any of his desires, but I didn't have any need at the time for a sissy maid, and I can never see that need coming up. I mean, I guess maybe when the dog is sick on the floor, you know, you can sissy maid anything you want to if you clean this up, but other than that, you know, the whole thing kind of felt invasive and repulsive to me.
He sent us naked pictures of himself, like, and not, like, not attractive, like wearing a short skirt and, like, it slipped up or something, or we were looking under the skirt, I don't remember, and it was just, like, in one picture it was just, like, you know, penis and balls.
Yeah, the penis didn't work well with the skirt, it just ruined the illusion, and while there wasn't really ever an illusion, he really... I just don't know if appearing female worked out for this man. But we do have about 11 minutes left. If you would like to join in, there's still time to ask Queen of Sky questions on the inaugural, the very first episode of Brenneman Airplane. My thanks to Gracie Passett, who came up with finally a name for my show after 6 months or something. The show is called The Brenneman Airplane, and I get the fun of using all these puns about the airline industry, about throwing haters out the exit row. You can join my frequent flyer program by calling 646-200-3136, and you can talk to our very first guest. Tonight she is the captain and the crew, Queen of Sky. You can also contact us. You go to xxbn.net. You can ask a question, or you can call in somehow by pressing click to talk and talking into your computer's microphone. And assuming it doesn't crash the board, which has been known to happen, you can ask questions of Queen of Sky. Otherwise, 646-200-3136. Alan, where can listeners find your book?
Oh, they can. The easiest way is just to go to Amazon, and I have a direct link to that Amazon page. It's Queen Book, QueenBook.com. Or you can go to your local bookstore. Like most of the chains should be able to order it. They don't. I mean, as a self-published author, it's very hard to get your book actually carried by bookstores. But they can order it because I have a distributor that works with all of these big chain stuff, and even the smaller stores should be able to order it. So it's called, again, Diary of a Dysfunctional Flight Attendant, The Queen of Sky Blog. That's the subtitle.
Now, I have to tell you, I put up, I essentially cut and paste from your blog and put it in the Brenneman Airplane blog as a promo for the show, and people are really fascinated with the slideshow. And I promised that I would ask the question as to how you made the slideshow work. At first people thought it was me, and I was like, no such luck. It is not me.
Wait, what slideshow? You mean on my MySpace page?
I took it from your MySpace page, and it's got, I remember a picture of you in Austin.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And like,
how does it work? There's,
people
were
very fascinated with the slideshow.
Oh, well, on MySpace, a lot of people have those slideshows. You just go, and I don't remember, you just go to these certain sites that host them. Like, I think all the main sites do it now, Photo Bucket, Flickr, and all those. You can probably make a slideshow, and you just upload whatever photos you want into the slideshow, and then they generate the code for you, so it's actually very simple. All you have to do is upload the photos, and then, but the one I chose, I was like, it seems a little sluggish nowadays, so I probably should get a better slideshow program, but I'm just too lazy.
Well,
I need to update that MySpace page. I haven't, like, I used to have a background where it was, you know, there was like a sky, blue sky background, but that disappeared. I don't know what the hell happened.
Mine did too. I lost my background. I had a beach, and I had I had Playa Arañaca, which is just outside of Viña del Mar in Chile, as my background. And one day I had like a generic background, and it was the same time where that like any time you tried to click to a link from your own blog to someplace else, and you get that message from the ridiculous Tom and.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to email Tom and tell him that anytime that pops up, it locks my computer up, and I'm really not pleased with Tom. But Tom will never be a passenger or a guest or the pilot on Brenneman Airplane, because I really don't like Tom.
Oh, really?
We have another email question that has come in from Amber, and she has asked if you had any suggestions for being a flight attendant.
Gosh, I'm not the best person to answer that question because I have not been able to find another flight attendant job. But the best suggestion, if you want to work for a big carrier, an international carrier, is to learn a foreign language that is in demand. And so it just depends on which airline you want to work for. Like, I'm pretty sure Delta needs, like, Turkish and, like, weird languages like that, Turkish, Hebrew speakers. But, you know, I think just any language is good. Like, Spanish is always good. German.
I know Spanish got me a great deal of flights.
German got me my first job at an airline at the charter I worked for, because they did a lot of Germany charters. And then German got me in at Delta, too, I think, because they had a lot of flights to Germany when I started. So otherwise, you can start at a small, I mean, you can just apply. You don't really, there aren't really any requirements. It's just they have those cattle calls where they invite a lot of people to these mass interviews. And I'm told that if you go to Continental Interview, that you, well, you always need to be very positive. But specifically Continental, they're going to try to get you to say negative things about your last job or about things in general, and you have to just stay really positive and, like, always have a smile on your face and try to, like, chat with all the people around you if it's a group interview. And I'm really bad at that kind of stuff. I hate group interviews. I'm really bad at them. And then don't tell your interviewer that you were fired from your previous job, because that's what I did, and I didn't get the job. So, but otherwise, if you can't get on with a major carrier, then try the commuter carriers like American Eagle. Are they even around anymore? American Eagle? They are, right?
I think so.
I don't even know. American Eagle, ASA, Comair, all the little commuter jets. That I think ExpressJet just went out of business. I need to email a friend of mine because he was working there, so I don't know what happened to him.
Did ExpressJet go? I hadn't heard it.
I heard it. I saw it somewhere that they were going to cease operation or something, or somebody told me. But anyway, those airlines are usually easier to get on with. They don't pay much at all, but none of the airlines really pay anything now. But you're going to have to move to the base city that they assign to you, usually, because commuting is really difficult in the beginning. So, and they usually, the most junior cities are the most expensive and the coldest cities. So, like, at Delta, it was New York. They would send all the new hires to New York, and we would all share these awful crash pads or hotel rooms. And I think at United it was like San Francisco or Newark. I want to say those were their junior bases.
Wow. But, you know, you're in career trouble when you're assigned to Newark.
Yeah. And a Continental Newark, I know, was the junior base, because they only had Cleveland, Newark, and Houston. And it's just... it's just don't expect to have a family life or social life, at least not like a steady boyfriend, for the first few years.
No, the whole ready reserve thing is, you know, a killer for...
Yeah, so explain what ready reserve is, Jill.
From my experience, ready reserve is be ready to go in 2 hours, 24/7, 365.
You're on call, and you have to be have your suitcase packed at all times, because they can call you and give you, the minimum notice was like 2 hours, I guess, but they could put you on airport standby, which is when you would cover a certain period of time just sitting at the airport for like 2 or 3 hours, or maybe it was longer, 4 hours. You just sit at the airport, and if somebody didn't show up for their trip or sicked out or something at the last minute, you would cover them, so you never knew where you were going to end up. So, like, at Delta, you could end up in, like, Moscow in the middle of winter, or you could end up in, like, San Juan, Puerto Rico, on the beach. So yeah, you had to pack accordingly, like, had to have, like, cold weather stuff and warm weather stuff.
Well, we are out of time. Once again, it went by so fast. I want to thank my guest, Ellen Simonetti, Queen of Sky. Ellen, one more time, where can people find you?
They can find me, just Google my name, Ellen, E-L-O-E-N, Simonetti, S as in Simon, I-M-O-N, ETTI, like Simon, and then ETTI at the end. That's the easiest way.
All right. I want to thank Ellen Simonetti, Queen of Sky, for joining the inaugural flight of Brennan Airplane. I'm Jill Brenneman. On behalf of all of my XXBN crew members, Gracie Passett, Zach, and everyone, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. This is XXBN Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill. Tomorrow evening, the show's off the air.